The culture was different. Horsa could see no end to its policy of continual and escalating interference. It could easily grow forever, because it was not governed by natural limitations. Like a rogue cell, a cancer with no off switch in its genetic composition, the culture would go on expanding for as long as it was allowed to. It would not stop of its own accord, so it had to be stopped. This was a cause he had long ago decided to devote himself to, Horsa told himself, listening to Fuisong droning on. Also, a cause he would serve no more if he didn't get away from the Eaters. Fuisong talked for a little longer, then, after a word from Mr. First, had his litter turned round so that he could address his followers. Most of them were either being very ill or looking it. Fuisong switched to the local language Horsa didn't understand and gave what was evidently a sermon. He ignored the occasional bout of vomiting from his flock. The sun dipped lower over the ocean, and the day cooled. The sermon over, Fuisong sat silently on his litter as, one by one, the Eaters came up to him, bowed and spoke earnestly to him. The prophet's dome-like head wore a large smile, and every now and again it would nod with what looked like agreement. Later, the Eaters sang and chanted while Fuisong was washed and oiled by the two women who had helped officiate at 27th's death. Then his vast body gleaming in the rays of the falling sun, Fuisong was carried, waving cheerfully, off the beach and into the small forest beneath the island's single stunted mountain. Fires were stoked, and wood was brought. The Eaters dispersed to their tents and campfires, or set off in small groups with crudely made baskets, apparently to gather fresh debris they would later try to eat. At about sunset, Mr. First joined the five quiet Eaters, who sat around the fire Horsa was by now tired of facing. The emaciated humans had taken little or no notice of the changer, but Mr. First came and sat near the man tied to the post. In one hand, he held a small stone. In the other, some of the artificial teeth Fuisong had used on 27th earlier that day. Mr. First sat grinding and polishing the teeth while he talked to the other Eaters. After a couple of them had gone to their tents, Mr. First went behind Horsa and undid the gag. Horsa breathed through his mouth to get rid of the stale taste and exercised his jaw. He shifted, trying to ease the accumulating aches in his arms and legs.
Comfortable? Mr. First said, squatting down again.
He continued to sharpen the metal fangs. They flickered in the firelight.
I felt better, Horsa said. You'll feel worse too, friend.
Mr. First made the last word sound like a curse.
My name's Horsa. I don't care what your name is.
Mr. First shook his head.
Your name doesn't matter. You don't matter.
I had started to form that impression, Horsa admitted.
Oh, had you? Mr. First said.
He got up and came closer to the changer.
Had you really?
He lashed out with the steel teeth he held in his hand, catching Horsa across the left cheek.
Think you're clever, eh? Think you're going to get out of this, do you?
He kicked Horsa in the belly. Horsa gasped and choked.
See? You don't matter. You're just a hunk of meat. That's all anybody is, just meat. And anyway, he kicked Horsa again. Pain isn't real. Just chemicals and electrics and that sort of thing, right?
Oh!
Horsa croaked, his wounds aching briefly.
Yes! Right!
Okay.
Mr. First grinned.
You remember this tomorrow, okay? You're just a piece of meat, and the prophet's a bigger one.
You, don't believe in souls, then?
Horsa said diffidently, hoping this wouldn't lead to another kick.
Fuck your soul, stranger.
Mr. First laughed.
You'd better hope there's no such thing. There's people that are natural eaters, and are those that are always going to get eaten. And I can't see that their souls are going to be any different, so as you're obviously one of those that are always going to get eaten, you'd better hope there isn't any such thing. That's your best bet, believe me.
Mr. First brought out the rag he had taken from Horsa's mouth. He tied it back there, saying,
No. No soul at all would be the best thing for you, friend. But if it turns out you have got one, you come back and tell me, so I can have a good laugh, right?
Mr. First pulled the knotted rag tight, hauling Horsa's head against the wooden stake. Fuisong's lieutenant finished sharpening the sets of gleaming metal teeth, then rose and spoke to the other Eaters sitting around the fire. After a while, they went to some of the small tents, and soon they were all off the beach, leaving only Horza to watch the few dying fires.